Movie stars of a slightly older vintage will gather on a New York stage Monday night, accompanied by a full orchestra, to recreate a kind of magical live television drama from the 1950s. It's called The World of Nick Adams. It's based on the early stories of Ernest Hemingway, and it's set to music by Aaron Copland. From New York, Tom Vitale reports.
The World of Nick Adams started as a one-hour teleplay broadcast live on CBS on November 10, 1957. The play was adapted from five Hemingway stories featuring his autobiographical hero, Nick Adams. It begins with a scene in which the character is wounded on a World War I battlefield.
I was dead then. I felt my soul coming right out of my body. Like you'd pull a silk handkerchief out of a pocket by one corner. It flew around and then came back and went in again. And I wasn't dead anymore.
Dear Jesus, get me out of here. Dear Jesus, please get me out. Please, please, dear Jesus. Please, please, please.
Hemingway's stories were adapted for television by A.E. Hotchner, who eventually wrote a memoir about his friendship with the author called Papa Hemingway. Despite being a careful researcher, after the broadcast, Hotchner somehow lost the script for The World of Nick Adams for 44 years.
About 7-8 months ago, I received a letter from a young man who was researching Copland's movie music. He informed me that while he was at the Library of Congress, going through the Copland papers, he found a script of mine and a handwritten score by Copland, and there it was. So I did get a copy from the Library of Congress. I read it, and I thought, this really still has the power of Hemingway in it.
So Hotchner took the script to his friend, actor Paul Newman, and together they decided to restage The World of Nick Adams as a one-night charity event for Newman's hole-in-the-wall gang camps for children with life-threatening diseases. For Monday's Lincoln Center benefit, Hotchner has essentially recreated his teleplay, with one exception. Instead of the off-camera voiceover in the TV drama, Hotchner has put those words into the mouth of Hemingway, commenting on the action from the side of the stage.
When you go to war as a boy, you have a great illusion of immortality. Other people get killed, not you. Then when you're badly wounded the first time, you lose that illusion, and you know it can happen to you.
Actor James Naughton will portray Hemingway on Monday night. He says The World of Nick Adams, first seen on Veterans Day weekend in 1957, has something to say to American audiences today.
Well, certainly war is on our minds. You know, we're not talking about the lockbox anymore, are we? And it's interesting to hear what a great artist thought about war, having lived through it, as we all know he did. But it's an artist's exploration of what it is to be in war, and that's something that I think transcends any topical kind of event.
The World of Nick Adams achieves that exclusively through scenes and dialogue taken from Hemingway's stories, and the author's own words, says A.E. Hotchner.
And he said, you know, three-fourths of my story, like an iceberg, is hidden below the surface of the page. And it's only the quarter that shows, but the three-fourths under the surface of the page is what gives it its power. Well, obviously, you can't be subliminal on the stage.
To suggest what lies beneath the surface, Hotchner gave chunks of Hemingway's descriptive prose to the narrator. To amplify the emotions in the stories, the show's producer, noted director John Houseman, insisted on original music.
But as Houseman said, he said, but I don't want some composer from the West Coast giving me all those Hollywood violins, weeping violins, I think he called them. So I said, well, I just heard on the radio a very good piece called Appalachian Spring, and I thought that was fun. Oh, he said, really, you like that? And I said, sure. He said, well, why don't you just ask Aaron Copland whether he would like to do an hour score for a non-sponsored program on Sunday afternoon on CBS? I didn't know he was putting me on.
So Hotchner called Aaron Copland out of the blue. And it turns out the composer, who was a Hemingway fan, agreed to write the score.
Well, it was remarkable because Copland had to recruit 29-piece chamber orchestra from among the Philharmonic and other places, musicians, you know. And he set them up on a soundstage right next to the performers, since it was a live telecast. And he rehearsed them on Saturday, the day before the performance. And then he said, but listen, tomorrow you and I are going to sit out there and watch this because we'll never see it again. And I have a friend of mine coming to direct the orchestra. So I thought, well, it'll be in, I hope it's in good hands. Well, it sure was, because the friend was Virgil Thompson.
Go on and say it.
It isn't fun anymore. It isn't fun anymore, not any of it. I feel as though everything has gone to hell inside of me. I don't know, Marge, I don't know what to say.
Isn't love any fun?
No.
All that's left of the world of Nick Adams now is a kinescope, a shadowy film made by a camera recording the live broadcast from a television tube. But on Monday, Copland's original score will be reproduced live by Leonard Slatkin conducting the Orchestra of St. Luke's. Matt Damon will play Nick Adams. Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, Morgan Freeman, and Paul Newman will portray characters he meets. And Gwyneth Paltrow will play the girl he leaves behind. The 81-year-old A.E. Hotchner says despite the glare of celebrity and the absence of rehearsal, he expects Hemingway's voice to shine through.
I think all writers in their early writings, remembering their early lives, write the most powerful, the most honest material that they'll ever write. There was something about the impact of life on this virginal boy coming out of the womb of a small town into the cruelties of the realities of the people and the places and the frustrations and the woundings that he had to suffer. I think that is raw emotion. And I think that the economy with which Hemingway dealt with it really heightened it, so that it's always like the shaft of an arrow going right into the heart of the experience.
All good stories have one thing in common. They are truer than if they had really happened. And after you read one of them, you feel that all that happened to you, and then it belongs to you forever.
For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.